Please stand in body or in spirit. My dear siblings in Christ, Jesus encounters us in the wilderness. For 40 days he was tempted. For 40 days he trusted the Father. Where Adam failed, where we fail, Christ stands firm. Lent is not about proving ourselves to be holy and worthy. It is about admitting that we are wholly unworthy. It is about repentance, returning to God who has already claimed us. Repentance is the daily life of the baptized. We practice this life with intention, turning to Christ each day and trusting that the promise we have received in him is enough. In the wilderness, we meet our hunger.
Lord, you are bread of life.
In the wilderness, we meet our temptations.
Lord, your word sustains us.
In the wilderness, we meet our weakness.
Lord, your strength is enough.
In the wilderness, we meet our sin.
Lord, have mercy and lead us home.
We begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Now let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another, taking time for silence and self-examination of our sins. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us. For his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord God, our strength, the struggle between good and evil rages within and around us. And the devil and all the forces that defy you tempt us with empty promises. Keep us steadfast in your word, and when we fall, raise us again and restore us through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
The first reading is from Genesis, the second and third chapters. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You may eat freely of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall die." Now the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animal that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God say, 'You shall not eat from any tree in the garden?'" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruits of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you shall die.'" But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please read Psalm 32 responsively with me. Happy are those whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered.
Happy are those to whom the Lord imputes no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit.
While I kept silence, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long.
For day and night your hands have been upon me. My strength is dried up as by the heat of summer.
Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not hide my iniquity. I said, "I will confess my transgressions to the Lord," and you forgave the guilt of my sin.
Therefore, let all who are faithful offer prayer to you. At a time of distress, the rush of mighty waters shall not reach them.
You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with the glad cries of deliverance.
I will instruct you.
Do not be like a horse or a mule without understanding, whose temper must be curbed with bit and bridle, else it will not stay near you.
Many are the torments of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds those who trust in the Lord.
Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. The second reading is from Romans, the fifth chapter. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death came through sin, and so death spread to all because all have sinned. Sin was indeed in the world before the law, but sin is not reckoned when there is no law. Yet death exercised dominion from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sins were not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For For if the many died through the one man's trespass, much more surely have the grace of God and the free will and the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for the many. And the free gift is not like the effect of the one man's sin, for the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brings justification. If because of the one man's trespass, death exercised dominion through that one, much more surely will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness exercise dominion in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, just as one man's trespass led to condemnation for all, so one man's act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all. For just as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The fourth chapter.
Glory to you, O Christ.
Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you do not dash your foot against the stone." Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. So, before I had written my sermon, I guess that will become obvious with what I say next. I asked Andrea, what should I preach on Sunday? Should I preach on, the Garden of Eden and the temptation of Adam and Eve? Should I preach on Jesus' temptation in the wilderness? And she said, that one, because if you preach on the Garden of Eden, you'll just make a joke about how, you shouldn't listen to women or something. So obviously, I decided to, unlike Adam, not listen to his wife and preach. I'm just kidding. That is, first of all, a very dangerous view of that piece of scripture that, even though the joke is funny, it is not something that we should ascribe to. I am preaching on both. It was compromise, right? See, that's what... Anyway. Oh, boy. I got myself into some trouble. So Jesus has been in the wilderness for 40 days and for 40 nights. He has not eaten. He is famished. When I do not eat for like 40 minutes, I get hangry. Jesus, he was hangry after not eating for 40 days and 40 nights. And the tempter comes to him trying to exploit this. If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. What does Jesus do? Well, even though he's famished, even though he very well could turn the stones into bread, we know this, Jesus instead reveals his trust in God. One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Now, meanwhile, man and woman, they are in the garden. They are immersed in God's bounty. I don't know how long it's been since they've eaten last, but all they have to do is reach up to one of the trees and pull a piece of fruit off. Their bellies are full. They want for nothing. And the serpent says, I know you have no reason to be hungry, but are you just a little curious? Just a little curious. What the fruit from that tree over there, the one in the middle of the garden, are you just a little curious what that one tastes like? What do the sinful humans do? Even though they are filled, even though their hunger is satisfied by the fruit from all the other trees, they must know, what does that forbidden fruit taste like? Couldn't be me. Lydia's like, that was cringe. Anyway, isn't that what the kids are saying? As Jesus stands on the pinnacle of the temple, the devil taunts him. If you are the Son of God, then prove it to us. Employing scripture now in his ruse, the devil tempts. God will send angels to bear you up before you crash against those stones down there. What does Jesus do? Jesus places his trust in God and tells the devil, I too know scripture, and it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. As the man and woman stand at the tree in the middle of the garden, the serpent taunts them, you will not die if you eat this fruit. What do the sinful humans do? They agree. They agree with the tempter. Surely we won't actually die if we eat this fruit, will we? They put their trust in the serpent. They put the Lord their God to the test. Will God allow them to die? As the devil shows Jesus the splendor of all the kingdoms of all the world, he says, just worship me. And these will be my gift to you, all of them. What does Jesus do? He says, away with you, Satan. Away with you and your empty promises. I have no place for you. I will not worship or serve you. For as it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Meanwhile, back in the garden, the serpent completes the deception. God knows that when you eat the forbidden fruit, your eyes will be open and you will be like God. You will know good and evil at that point. So what do those sinful humans do? Instead of trusting the Lord their God, instead of worshiping the Lord their God and serving God, they eat the fruit anyway. They decide they want to be like God. They sin against the very one who has created them. What do we sinful humans do? We listen to the one who opposes God. We listen to the serpent, to the tempter, to the devil, whatever you want to call him, we listen to this one in all his earthly forms. We cling to his lies and his empty promises. We reject the freely given gifts from God, our Creator, and instead we seek the false gifts that the devil promises. We forever seek that which we do not yet grasp, that just is over here, that is maybe just out of our reach. That's what we want. We choose that which leads to death. We reject God. We set ourselves up to be gods unto ourselves. Just eat the fruit. You will see as God sees. We eat the forbidden fruit. But we don't do it because it's good. We don't eat the forbidden fruit because it's good. We don't eat the forbidden fruit because it satisfies. We know it never satisfied. We don't do that because it nourishes. But because that which is forbidden will always be just a bit too tempting for us to not grab a hold of. We, like Adam, and we, like Eve, can't not eat the forbidden fruit. We can't not sin. And I must say, if there's any one thing that we humans are good at, it is sinning, right? We are world-class sinners. It's tempting, pun intended, it's tempting to read Jesus' resistance to temptation in the wilderness as a morality lesson for us. If only we try hard enough, we can overcome sin where Adam and Eve could not. It's tempting for us to read that and think, we can do what Jesus does. That was a very thick reading from Paul that you read today, but it's a very good reading. In my sermon, it says the Apostle Paul makes clear in his letter to the Romans, that's not true. The Apostle Paul doesn't ever make anything clear. He always talks around it, right? But what the Apostle Paul is saying in the letter to the Romans is that sin has already defeated us. He says sin came into the world through one man, and death came through sin, and so death then spread to all. So sin came through Adam, death came through sin, and death has spread to all. So if I'm following this, sin infects us all, and this infection leads to death. And there's nothing that we can do about it. Now, that would be a really bad story if that was the end of the story, right? Fortunately, there is something that God has already done about it, and that's where Paul continues. Paul says that God has given us a new Adam. He says, if death were victorious because of one man's sin, because of Adam's sin, much more surely then we who receive abundant grace and the free gift of righteousness, we reign victorious in life through that one man. Who is that one man? Not Adam, the new Adam. Who is the new Adam? Hey, Jesus is always the right answer. Jesus is the new Adam. This gospel today is not a morality tale because we cannot do what Jesus does. Jesus has done what Adam could not do, what we cannot do. Again, from Paul, just as one man's trespass led to condemnation for all, so one man's act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all. We don't factor into that at all. I mean, we're part of the trespass side, but the justification and new life, we don't factor into that. We didn't do a thing, and this is pure grace. We do carry with us the sin of Adam, sin which leads to certain death. We are told, if you eat the fruit of that tree, you will die. And what do we do? We eat the fruit. We sin. Why? I don't know. Because it's our nature. The righteousness, though, of one man, Jesus Christ, has overcome Adam's sin, Eve's sin, your sin and my sin, the sin of all. His righteousness, Jesus' righteousness, gives us sure and certain life. Pure grace is what I called it. And there is a risk with grace like this. There is a risk with grace like this. Because we humans are sinful and we'll say, hey, I'll take that grace, nothing else for me to do, right? This is cheapening God's freely given grace. And guess what? The Apostle Paul expected us to cheapen this grace. As he continues into the next chapter, we didn't hear this today. Paul asked this amazing question. I love this question. Should we continue to sin in order that grace may abound? Should we? I mean, why not? Grace is a good thing. Shouldn't we want more? So the more we sin, the more God gives us grace, the more grace. Grace is good, right? Paul knows that we think this way, though. Should we continue in sin in order that grace may abound? By no means, says Paul. How can we who died to sin go on living in it? Anyone know where we died to sin? I'm looking at one that we just killed in sin or killed to sin not too long ago. In our baptisms. Do you not know that all of you who have been baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we who have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ has been raised from the glory of the Father, I messed that up. But anyway, we are baptized into death with Jesus Christ so that we might rise to new life with Jesus Christ, so that we may walk in newness of life with Jesus Christ. That is the gift of our baptism. So, what would Jesus do? That's not really a valid question for us. We know that we can't do what Jesus would do. This other question, what do the sinful humans do, or what do we sinful humans do? That's not really a good question for us to ask either. We know what we do. We sin. The real question for us who have been transformed, in our baptisms, is what do the baptized Christians do? First, I'll tell you what we don't do. We don't strive for grace. We live freely from that freely given grace. Instead of trying to save ourselves, instead of trying to be like Jesus, which we can't do, we return to our baptism with Jesus. And in our baptism, this is the fun part, we get to try to drown that old Adam over and over again. The one who continues to reach for that forbidden fruit. And we rise trusting in the victory over death that has already been won. When we become hungry for that forbidden fruit and it causes us to sin, we confess that sin. We return to Christ. We cling to the one who has done what we ourselves cannot do. We cannot do what Jesus has done, period. When we fall, because we will fall, we will sin, we fall into grace. For just as one man's trespass led to condemnation, so one man's righteousness leads to new life. This is new life for you and for me and for all us sinners. But guess what? It's not new life just for when we die. No. This is new life for the here and now, for a creation that we broke. It is new life that Jesus is working to bring to the here and now in and through us for today. Thanks be to God. Amen.
I ask you to join me in professing what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in
God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven.
Reconciled by God's mercy and sustained by God's presence, let us pray for the world and its needs.
God of all grace, grant faith to the people of First Lutheran and to your church universal. Strengthen the baptized to resist the temptations of self-reliance, quick fixes, and false promises, and turn our hearts again to worship and serve you alone. Root us in your word, steady us in trial, and keep us mindful of the promises spoken over us in baptism. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. God of all healing, mend our wounds. Bring wholeness to all who are sick. Give peace to all who groan in grief, and send companions to all who are lonely or isolated. Especially, we pray for Mike, Tammy, Doug, Keith, Clint, Barb, Mary Lou, Linda, Ed, Pastor Tim, for Bo, for all those on our long-term homebound assisted living and limited mobility prayer list, and for all who we name now, either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of all people, provide for the people of Galion, bless and multiply the meal ministries of First Lutheran Church, that they may bring nourishment to all who hunger for bread. Speak your life-giving word to and through the people of First Lutheran, that all who hunger for truth may come to know your voice. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. Receive these and all our prayers, O God, through Jesus Christ, our strength and our salvation. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. Please share a sign of God's peace with one another.
All right. Instead, we will continue worship with our gifts and our offerings.
O God, maker of heaven and earth, your steadfast love embraces all creation. You send rain and sunshine to nourish the earth and bring forth its bounty. Through these gifts of bread and wine, draw us into the death and life of your Son, who calls us to bear witness to his saving work. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You call your people to cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that renewed in the gift of baptism, we may come to the fullness of your grace. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me. Again, after supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks, and he gave it for all to drink, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come to the table, where all are always welcome. Feast on God's goodness and mercy.
This is the body of Christ.
Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. God of our salvation, we give you thanks for this meal that restores our souls, reconciles us to you, and strengthens us for the journey through the body and blood of your Son. May we become Christ's body in the world, bearing witness to your love for all creation through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. I will say, you all have really embraced the vibe of Lent. Whew! That's not the announcements, though. Sorry. Let's see. Midweek Lenten services, we will begin those on Wednesday. They will be at St. Paul. They begin at, I don't know. Yeah, there it is. 7 p.m. So those will be this Wednesday, five services beginning this Wednesday, 7 p.m. at St. Paul. Very, very likely that the theme will be Jonah. So very excited because, as we all know, that is the best book in the Bible. Well, everything's according to me. Anyway, Lydia's like, please let me go home. Anyway, speaking of Lydia getting to go home earlier, there is no catechism next Sunday. Also, take a look in your bulletin for an announcement about a woman's Bible study, and also for if you're interested in the LifeWise Evening of Impact. Any other announcements this morning? We will remember the blessing this week, so please stand in body or in spirit, joyfully, but still with a mind for Lent. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you now and forever. Amen. you all know how this ends, right? You know your line, okay? With enthusiasm, as Beth would say, Jesus meets us in the wilderness and overcomes every temptation.
In him, we are not alone. We are strengthened by his word and sealed in our baptism.
Go forth, trusting in his promise, resisting the tempter, and serving the Lord alone.
We will. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Jeff.